and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson.
And I'm Jim Allen. Hey, John, how's it going?
Oh, very well. Very well.
Extremely well, I'd say.
Just a little warm, but you know, I like the heat. I like these real summers. You know, when I lived in Nagoya, it was a lot hotter than it was here, than it is here in Tokyo. And it's finally getting to be a closer match to what I'm used to in terms of summer.
Okay, you're just achieving your comfort level here.
I'm loving it, man. I wanted to go running today, but I had too many things to do. I'll have to put it off until tomorrow.
Okay, well, you got to talk to Brian Bullington the other day.
I did. I caught up with him on Saturday at Tokyo Dome, and we've got an interview with him coming up. We're gonna discuss a lack of strategy and touch on some other topics, so let's get started by clearing the bases. All right, so, yeah, I ran down Brian Bullington. Actually, he was just standing in front of the dugout, and he wasn't moving at all.
He thought you were going to get some cardio exercise in there, but he didn't make it.
He didn't make me work at all. He's an interesting guy. We had a quick chat, and he touched on a number of things. But he's a former number one overall pick by the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2002, and here he is in Japan. I mean, the best laid plans, I guess you say. But
I ain't saying nothing about that.
Well, I mean, but he's having success here, which is good, and he's having it with a team that really needs this, you know, a pitcher to have success. And
they have had good luck, obviously, when, you know, they had Colby over here for 2 years.
Exactly. Well, I mean, this season at the moment they're lacking in starters, and so it's a good thing that he came along and he's helping them, you know, be a factor in the playoff pace.
Hold on, I don't want to, you know, he's done better this year than last year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, of course, everyone's done better this year than last year, so that's not exactly a, you know, the mark of excellence. But
right.
Good when I say Gio Fernandez, he hasn't been around for Giancarlo Alvarado.
Alvarado. Exactly. Okay. Gio. You can say Gio. That's what they call him. You know, and Brian won his first four starts here, first four decisions, and he came close to a no-hitter in Nagoya in April. I think Kazuhiro Iwata broke it up in the eighth inning.
Did he get credit for that?
I'm sorry? Did he get credit
for it against the Dragons this year?
I don't know. Everybody's getting, you know, pretty close to it. I think I could do well against the Dragons in about five or six.
No, but they like you, you see. So they
take a chance with that.
Who likes they throw junk out of the zone, you see.
They're not hitting very much anything. Not even.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to take those guys to Las Vegas at the moment. They wouldn't even hit on a 20. They wouldn't be able to hit on a
16.
The issue with the Carp right now is that they've gone to a four-man rotation, I think, or a five-man rotation. Anyway, Brian pitched on 4 days rest today, and he didn't actually have a good result, so five runs in five innings, and he was gone. So that's unfortunate, but I got to talk to him before he threw today, which is Sunday. I got to talk to him on Saturday, so let's go ahead and take a listen to the interview.
You don't talk about the Carp all that much when it comes to this time of year, like
right.
August or something. I know it's your first year here, today,
right.
But what's it been like around this?
It's been fun. You know, we got a great group of guys. You know, I think we've been winning some games, especially against our league. You know, I think we had the stretch during Interleague where we really struggled, but we've really played well, you know, in the Central League. And, you know, we're obviously going to have to continue to do that, you know, the last 2 months. But just from seeing the teams, I mean, I think there's teams with a lot more experience than us, you know, being in this type of situation. But like you said, I don't think anybody really expects much out of us. So it's kind of a fun position to be in, you know, come in and be the spoiler and play hard. And
don't twist my words now.
Well, no,
I'm not saying that nobody expected anything.
No,
it's good for the league.
Yeah, absolutely. But people think, you know, playoff time, it's going to be Hanshin, these guys, the Swallows, and the Dragons. So,
I picked you guys to, you know, I adjusted my schedule here.
Yeah.
I picked you guys to do well and maybe get that third.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
what's it going to take for you guys to do that?
Well, I mean, we're going to have to play good baseball. We're going to have to pitch well. Starting pitching is going to be always a key, especially in this league. I feel like, you know, if you can keep it a 1-2-run game, you know, get into the late innings, you got a chance. If you get down early, you know, it's tough to come back, I feel like. we got to play really good defense, and then we have to get hits and we have guys in scoring position.
Now, I know you guys pitched well. I mean, at least you guys started out well in the first month of the season with a lot of wins, especially yourself. You started up with a winning streak and all that stuff. Now, how hard is it to keep it up? How much do people get, you know, a lot of video on you and get to study you and all that stuff?
I mean, in a 6-team league, I mean, obviously you're getting, you know, multiple opportunities to see lineups. I mean, it works both ways. I think, obviously, a hitter, the more at bats he sees against the guy, he's going to have a better idea of what, you know, what he's trying to do. But it works both ways, you know. I feel like I have a good idea, you know, what I need to do against certain hitters. And, you know, then it's just about executing when you get out there.
All right. Now, you guys just got swept at home by the Giants, I guess, about a week ago. Right? What did that do to you, and how did you come into this series?
Well, I mean, they're the one team I feel like we struggled against. You know, we played pretty well against, you know, the rest of the league. We've at least held our own, and, you know, these guys have had our number.
Seven in a row until last night.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've really struggled against them. So it's good to, you know, we're trying to win every series, whether it's against these guys or the Tigers or the Dragons. You know, that's our goal, is to come in and try to take 2 out of 3 in every series. And, you know, winning the first one certainly helps. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of base. You can't get too caught up, and, you know, 2 weeks ago, you're going to play every night. So you got to, you know, come ready to play. And, you know, it was nice to, like I said, get a win last night and get the series started off.
I'm thinking about the psyche, though, because you guys were at home. And, and it was big to, you know, you had just moved up in the second place.
Yeah.
And then bang, they beat you 3 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, it's, if you're looking at, to me, yeah, second place is great, but it's the first week of August, you know. It's like we still got 60 games left to play. So watching the scoreboard watching right now, it doesn't really do a whole lot. We got to take care of, you know, our business on the field. So I think it was a wake-up call, hopefully. You know, we came back and played well against the Swallows, and then, you know, got the win last night. So hopefully it's a little momentum shift for us, you know, getting things turned around. But, yeah, it was definitely a wake-up call. Anytime you get swept by somebody, it kind of puts you back on your heels, and you got to kind of regroup. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do that.
Now, you guys seem like you have a lot of guys who just scrap and have good at-bats up there all the time. You don't have any guys who just crack the ball out of the park all the time. But you look around the league, and there's no team that's really, really doing a great job of blocking the ball over the fence. So.
Yeah, I mean, we've played, you know, the way we're playing right now, we've actually had more home runs, I think, here in the last 3 weeks than we've had, you know, up the whole season. You know, Kent has got hot, Maru's got hot, and hit a couple. So just getting Hirose and Barden in the lineup has really, you know, I think, solidified our lineup. You know, and then, you know, Chibi's been consistent here the last 3 or 4 months. Higashide, the leadoff hitter. So he's, you know, he's been on fire, you know, the last month. And he's on base, and then those guys are, you know, starting to drive in runs behind him. So, but like I said, we got to, you know, pitch, play defense, and then when we do get guys in scoring position, we got to get, you know, timely hits.
Now, you've seen all the teams in the league now. You're familiar with them all. Now, where do you guys compare? I mean, do you think you can make a move higher up and try to finish second place, or even challenge the first?
I mean, I think Hanschen's only 4 games back now. You know, and they've got 2 more against the Swallows, you know, this weekend. So, yeah, everybody's close. We're going to see everybody, you know, a lot more down the stretch. So, you know, in a 6-team league, it's definitely easier to make up ground, you know, when you're playing, you know, the teams ahead of you. So, you know, we're going to, like I said, focusing on that stuff right now. It's a bit premature. But if we, like I said, go out with the goal of winning every series, we're going to be in a good place, you know, come the last couple weeks.
All right. Good luck, man.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
That was a good interview. Thanks a lot, Brian. We appreciate you being on the show.
Absolutely.
You know, he says there's plenty of baseball left and it's no time to be scoreboard watching. And I kind of agree with the scoreboard watching. And I do agree that there is a lot of baseball left. But, I mean, you know, normally before the playoff system, you know, by this time, a lot of teams would just be basically into the play out the string mode. They're not in that. I mean, they were in second place when they came to town and I'm sorry, not second, but third, and they tumbled into fifth place here. But that's, I mean, you know, the standings do mean a little bit in terms of, you know, how people view you.
Well, you know, I think as far as, you know, watching the scoreboard, I think fans watch the scoreboard. You know, it's what, you know, we'd watch anything. You put it out in the field and we'll watch it.
I want to know.
Yeah. Me, you know, I watch different things. I'm, you know, as you know, I watch, you know, how teams are doing in terms of the runs they're scoring and the runs they're allowing, you know, see who's being smart, who's being aggressive. There's lots of things to pay attention to. Punt races. Yeah. Yeah. You know, my Swallows are in first place. Yeah, baby. Did I say that?
Yeah. Wasn't me.
Okay, I was afraid of that. All right.
Darn it, is this thing on?
Exactly. Okay, so I like to see, you know, who's playing smart, who's being aggressive, you know, what kind of moves managers are making.
Right.
And which brings us to the next topic, which is, what the heck's going on in the Central League, John?
Well, before we get to that, I wanted to talk about the fact that he's kind of misinterpreted my statement.
Oh, okay.
That, you know, we're not talking about the Carp in the postseason. He took that as a slight, sort of, so to speak. And I'm like, well, not exactly. What I meant is, you know, now look at you guys. You know, you're
right
here, and you're relevant. You're a factor. And,
right,
you know, it's about the only time I talk about fish.
Yeah, you have to know John and Fish are not the match made in heaven.
Not at all. And you know, I'm glad you guys are here, and this is good for baseball. And you know, obviously, I corrected it midstream.
There was a little damage control going on there. I mean, it wasn't your fault; it just happened. But I could hear your backpedaling in there.
I was pedaling forward. I was running him over. I was saying, I'm backing over him. That was not backpedaling. That was backing over the guy. Wait a second here.
That's what happened to him, Dave. You ran over him, and he lost his confidence. That was it. The Giants did the rest.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, he lost 2 out of 3, but they did. At least they got a game out there. But yeah. Now, he also touched on one thing, was that scoreless inning streak that the Carb experienced this earlier in the season, and
right,
that during interleague plague. It was a plague for them.
It was a plague on the Central League. A plague all over your houses.
The interleague plague, they went scoreless for 50 consecutive innings, set a Central League record for a scoreless inning streak. But, you know, they basically have turned it around a little bit, and they've been able to score you know, more frequently and keep themselves in games. But they don't have any boppers at all.
They don't.
And that's the problem. And go ahead.
Well, one of the things that helps the Carp right now is that Jun Hirose is back. He was probably their best player last year. I mean, other than Kenta Maeda.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably their best position player. And a tremendous outfielder and a really good hitter. And so he's back. He was out for about a month and a half, so that's good. But I think what's happening with the Carps offense is the same thing that's happening with most of the offenses around Japan. Is that other than the BayStars, who probably still think they can hit because they play in Yokohama Stadium, is that they're kind of realizing that, oh, new ball, okay, well, it's about time. Isn't it time we get over it? And this of the new ball, the new strike zone is another issue, but teams are kind of like saying, okay, this is the way things are, let's adjust. I mean, I think guys have been making all kinds of adjustments. They've been adjusting like crazy, but I think it's been this last adjustment is just sort of going back to what worked before,
mm-hmm,
and not worrying that the results are not exactly the same.
Well, I mean, I would like to see that, or I'd like to say that, yeah, they are making adjustments, and I can see a difference. But and it seems like, and I didn't crunch the numbers, but it seems like since the All-Star breaks, teams have come out of the All-Star breaks, save for the Dragons. And,
that's another story.
Yeah, and
I don't have an answer for them.
Me either. They've been scoring, they've been doing better in terms of getting their offense together and putting up at least a couple runs a game. Other than, and like I said, I haven't crunched the numbers. This is probably just me looking at my blog, you know, and looking at the scores as I go through my blog there and, for the month. But, you know, getting back to the Carp, you know, they certainly, Kan Otake hasn't been there all season, and they have a Yuki Saito as well, not a prince or anything, but he was
a
good pitcher for them last year, and they need to get somebody or get an import pitcher, get somebody in there, because I don't see them staying relevant in this thing with their offense if they don't pitch better, and
right,
if they're going to wear their pitchers out, the ones they have now. It's just not going to be pretty going down, you know, the stretch into the end of this month and the beginning of next month. They could be out of it by then.
I think, yeah, okay. Well, with the carp, it is an issue. I mean, they've tended to be, historically, the carp have been a good pitching team and a bad hitting team, basically, and that was the effect of playing in Hiroshima, Shin, and Kyujo. Now that they're in the big park, they don't know what they are.
Mm.
They used to think they were a good hitting team, and they weren't.
Really? I mean, you know, I always had the impression that they hit the ball hard. Now, whether it turned into hits or not, it didn't always do that. But they always put good swings on balls. You know, this is back when they would score a bunch of runs but would lose games because they didn't play good defense or they didn't pitch well.
Agreed. Agreed. And they had a park, you know, and with the old park, they had a park that was very hard for pitchers. It was very hard, I think, psychologically for a pitcher to throw inside at Shin and Kyujo because you miss up a little bit, you miss over the plate a little bit. And
you don't get the ball back, yeah.
No, it's back in the seaman, you know, stand up behind the left field wall.
You're asking the ump for another one, please.
Exactly. That's a situation, and very few pitchers could adjust to it. Other than Kuroda, really, very few pitchers in the last 10 years have made that adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a situation, moving to the new park, of course, is like, Kenta Maeda is like going, wow, we can actually, you know, pitch here. I don't know what the adjustment is this year. I mean, ostensibly, they've got a better ball. They've got a... their park is not a good hitter's park this year. It is a good hitter's park relative to the league, but it's fairly neutral.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be killing their pitchers, but their pitchers are not getting it done. And maybe it's there's so much interplay. I still don't think the Carp defense is that good. It's been weird. They've got such great outfielders, but their outfield defense doesn't seem to be working all that well.
Yeah, I mean, the game I went to on Saturday, you know, there were a couple balls that some guys took some poor routes to get to, but they got to them. But
we're talking about so.
But not, you know, geez, I'm looking at the team and you know they're fairly strong up the middle.
Yeah.
They're
just playing better defense.
It's just weird.
They didn't play good defense last year.
They haven't played good defense for quite a number of
years.
Well,
you know, they played better. I'll say this. You know, the funny thing is that when Kenjiro Nomura took over as manager, he said, like, I hate this shoddy Carp defense. And there is no way in the world. The defense the Carp put on the field last year was the worst defense they've had in 10 years.
Mm.
Absolutely. The stuff the team Marty had made errors, but they caught the ball.
Okay.
They got outs in the field. Last year, they stopped getting those outs. I mean, if it weren't for Hirose, their defense, you know, they still had a good center fielder. They did have a better outfield defense, but they're a mess, and they're still a mess. The pitching worked last year, oddly enough, and with a new ball, it isn't. And for the life of me, I can't figure it out. It's not like Kanotake was a good pitcher last year, and he isn't this year. It's like he wasn't good last year either.
Yeah. And injuries have slowed him down. So, hopefully they can pick up something.
I think the Carp, you know, I think Nomura is really bad, a really bad manager. I like Kenshiro Nomura.
Wait a second. What exactly are you trying to say by that statement?
You're not being very clear. I'm saying that, okay, you're absolutely correct. I'm not being clear. I'm giving a broad-based, generalized, subjective judgment about, you know, the kind of which I really rip into people regularly for making. You know, what do you mean he's bad? He doesn't, you know, he has bad, you know, he doesn't know what kind of suit to wear with his sneakers. You know, it's like the team is disorganized and is playing poorly.
Right.
I don't know what it is that he has good players and they're not playing well. They seem to be disorganized and leaderless, a lot like, I think, to the extent when Horiuchi was managing the Giants and the team was just disorganized.
Well, and I can tell you what I saw on Saturday, at least from an offensive standpoint,
right,
is that, and this might lead me into my rant here, because, you know, they would get a guy on base or mm-hmm. They would have, you know, they first of all, they don't have that one guy who's gonna pound the ball. So they don't strike fear into pitchers. Pitchers feel like, well, if I walk a guy, if I give up a single here or there, I can get a strikeout, I can get a pop-up, I can get the next guy out, and I don't have to worry too much about making a mistake. And maybe perhaps the new ball is playing, you know, a little bit into play, like, because they have a lot of slap-and-run guys on Hiroshima, and, you know, slap-and-run guys put a little bit of pressure on the infielders. But as far as a pitcher, you're not worried about them taking you deep, although two of those guys hit home runs today, but they were solo runs and didn't, you know, the Carp ended up losing the game. When their bases were loaded, they didn't get any hits. So they don't have that one guy who's gonna carry them. And Kurihara has been a cleanup guy for a while for them, but he's not, you know, he's a line drive hitter. Everybody's expecting long balls from him. I don't think he's going to, obviously, through 80-some-odd games, or about 80, 90. They're almost at 90, I think. He's not hitting a lot of home runs. Okay, yeah, well, he got hot.
He's a guy with medium power. I mean, for him to be the kind of home runs that he can, the number of home runs he can have when he's basically, he can hit for average. This is this guy who, his ideal season is to hit .295 with a bunch of walks and maybe 20 home runs.
Right. Well, basically, they don't have anybody who's going to pound the ball. Okay. No. What's the next thing you're going to do is probably just try to be aggressive and manufacture some runs. So are they doing that? And yesterday, you know, in the first inning, they got a guy on. Their number two hitter, Kimura, couldn't get the sacrifice down. He ends up striking out. They actually ended up getting the run because Kurihara got a two-out single.
Yeah.
But that was about it. They got a sacrifice fine later, and they got guys on base, and they're all fast. And here's my thing. Let's put these guys in motion. Let's hit and run.
Well, fast versus the odd one is the guy who scored on the sacrifice fly is Shima, who's, wow. He's doing a good job of his weight control, but he's not very fast.
But yeah, it wasn't much of a sacrifice fly, okay? It was a medium, shallowish ball to medium center, and they just decided to test Chono's arm, and Chono was just offline. Had it been online, it would have beaten him, but he was just offline.
It would have been it would have been very close, and they might have got him. So he had a chance. He certainly had a chance on that ball, but it was not a good release on him or a good throw. So
no, he rushed it. But I mean,
it looked good while it was in the air.
Well, I was, you know where the seats are, and it was offline from the start.
It was good in terms of the velocity and the height, but
it was a two seamer. It was a two seamer, and it was tailing. And it was running toward the third base, and it was never.
It got it off slowly, and that gave Shima what he needed to get down the line.
Yeah, but you know, I want to see teams say, okay, look, we're not hitting the ball. Okay, we're going to have to manufacture runs, and this is how we're going to manufacture them. Especially a team that has a little bit of speed. I can't say all their guys are quote unquote fast, but they're not sludge butts. They're going to be able to move.
Other than Shima.
Well, not all of them. I'm not saying everybody should be running, but the guys they have out there, the guys, all their outfielders are fast, pretty much.
Hirose,
infield is fast, except for Kurihara. But you know, I looked at the stolen bases,
fly.
Yeah, they can have guys who can run.
Fly. Well, he actually is pretty fast. And who else have they got? They got Morrow. He's not that bad. They've got the guys. Their bench is. They gotta have the fastest bench in Japan.
Well, and here's the thing. In terms of stolen bases, it's the Giants who lead the Central League in stolen bases.
Well,
it's
you know why that is.
And Hiroshima has 41.
You know why the Giants are leading the league in stolen bases, though. Well, one is because they're trying, but the other reason is they're trying and they're failing a lot. They're getting thrown out a lot. So the team that's stealing a lot of bases and doing it well is the Swallows. But at least the Giants are trying. You know, give them credit for trying.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even say what the Swallows have is a lot of stolen bases because the Giants have 63. Well, coming into today's game, so this has not been updated. But 63 for the Giants and 32 for the Swallows. That's half about, and that's not a lot. That's just their percentage.
Actually, they have gotten worse. They've had a couple of guys thrown out, and the Giants' percentage has gotten better. So, yeah, more power to them. The Swallows, and I'll say this: the Swallows have a fairly station-to-station offense. It's pretty You know, they bump the guy over. They
Exactly.
They steal when they can. They steal efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants are a little more reckless, a little harder to guess. But, you know, with the Carp, you have a situation where, well, nobody's hitting for average. Okay. The Carp batters don't walk. They don't hit for average. They don't – and this is the thing. Not only the Carp poor base stealers, 41. I mean, other than Yokohama, everybody's stolen 30 okay, Dragons haven't stolen, but 41 stolen bases. They've been thrown out 23 times.
I tell you, if the Dragons want to steal a base, they better bring a gun and a mask.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
Why have anybody steal bases?
The Carp are probably the worst base stealing. Well, who's worse? Yokohama's got to be the worst. They've tried 29 times, and they've been out half the time.
Well,
it's like, what gets worse for the Carp? Who knows? I mean, for the Bay Stars.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The thing that sparked this was the other day is I'm watching the Bay Stars and the Giants, and this was Tuesday, and Naoto Watanabe for the Bay Stars is at the plate. He's a pretty fairly reliable contact hitter. All right, there's two on. You know, they had I think it was first and third, or first and second, and they put the runners in motion while he was at the plate, mm-hmm. and he struck out. Mm-hmm. And the lead runner was Norihiro Nakamura, who's not very fleet of foot.
Winged Pegasus there, baby.
The only time he's quick is when he's trying to avoid reporters from asking questions.
Then he's quick.
But he got away. Okay, so the announcers say, you know, mottainai, which in Japanese, I guess they're just saying
it's a waste.
It's a waste of an opportunity. You ran yourself out of the inning. And I'm thinking, why not be aggressive? This is a last place team. What is mottainai for a team that's 50 games out of first place? I mean, that's about all they can do. Let them do that. At least make an effort. Show the fans they're trying. I mean, come on. And I know the bunt is a staple of the game.
Okay.
And I know...
It's a staple. It's the thing that keeps the pages from flying apart.
It's the bindings.
It got tired of the paper.
Yeah. And, you know, runs being scored overall, you know, the runs production is down across the board. I understand it. And that's why you need to be aggressive. If you get these runners on, why just let them, you know, just sit there and rot?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're waiting for some ball to fall in somewhere. Be aggressive. Put these runners in motion, hit and run, and run and hit, and do the butcher boy. Do something. Do something to be aggressive to get, especially with, you know, a team like Yokohama. With mottainai, you know, not at all. They're scoring runs, actually. I mean, we talked about it last week that they're scoring runs. So leave them alone on offense, you know. Beat them up on defense, beat them up on where they're locating some of their pitches. But
sure.
And even if it's the park that's helping them, they're scoring runs. You know,
sure.
They could, they can compete in terms of runs scored. So, you know, fix something else. You know, point the finger at something else.
Well, so many things got to be done this year, and we've talked about it a lot, and I think it is true that the strike zone – it's odd, hard to think that the strike zone could cause so much panic, but you know the base running game in Japan is so, like, what a surprise, it's orthodox. Some guys, they don't, you know, they run on running counts. Nobody runs when they're behind the count.
Uh-huh.
And guys are behind in the count a lot. They don't have confidence that the hitters are going to know what the strikes are. They don't have. It's like everything's just coming apart at the seams. You know, it's like the managers don't know when to hit the run. The players don't know what the strike zone is. And then you got Kenjiro Nomura running the team, so it's just like an accident waiting to happen in the first place. Will I pick on Kenjiro again?
I think you were.
Okay. Stop it. Okay, that's enough. Enough
I didn't
enough
say on. That. I enjoy it, actually.
That's worse. What's worse? The person who says the dumb stuff or the person who enjoys it?
Both parties have equal responsibility in the
matter. Wow, what a politically correct answer. Okay. So yeah, so anyway, it is I think particularly in the Central League, it is a sort of a very timid approach to a game which should be wide open and, you know, really rocking and rolling.
Exactly.
You know, it's all about speed this year, and it's all about waiting.
They're sitting and waiting. And let me tell you this, and we were talking about it before we went on air, talked about guys not exactly knowing where the strike zone is. I've seen too many umpires standing up there with a bat in their hands.
Okay.
Swing that thing. Swing that stick. If it's close, swing it. I mean, I'm not saying recklessly go out there and swing at everything as soon as the pitcher lets the ball go. But be aggressive. If a pitch is up, and especially if it's up, go for it. Because it's better than having the umpire back there flailing around and dancing while you're walking back to the dugout. I mean, be aggressive. I mean, I would like to see a lot more aggressive out there.
I think we both would. Oh, no. It's not you. Okay.
Umpires dancing behind the plate. Well, you know, we don't want to have umpires doing that Michael Jackson backslide, you know, and flailing and their arms flailing in the air. I want to see the guy at least make contact, make the fielder's field, you
right.
know, try to put the ball in play. And there's just too many guys staring. I mean, Kurihara was one. Wada Kazuhiro of the Dragons is another guy I've just seen take so many strikes this year. And, I mean, they want to argue these pitches, but, I mean, you know what? You could have hit that. You know,
yep.
Spend more energy, exert more energy swinging the bat and trying to hit that thing than you are trying to get an umpire to get your attention. Because, you know, right now, whatever you guys are doing, whatever adjustments you guys have made, it ain't working. You know,
right.
It just ain't. So,
okay.
I mean, you know, get over it. Let's go.
Okay.
Swing the bat.
Heard what Ron has had to say. Now go out and do it.
I want to see some more strikeouts. Swing it. I'm looking.
Okay.
All right. You mentioned your Swallows about 5 minutes ago, and we want to talk
right.
about them again. They're struggling tonight, although Mr. Vladimir Valentin just hit a home run. About
oh, brilliant.
There
so, you go, Coco.
So they're only down to 3-1 now. But, you know, they have been struggling.
Yep.
Since the All-Star break.
Right.
But still, they have, well, they came in today with a five-game lead.
Sure.
It might be four by the end of the night.
They're playing exactly what, you know, I don't hate to say. Do you know anybody who actually hates to say I told you so?
Those people never say that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I hate to say I told you so, but I really don't. I love to say I told you so.
Exactly.
And what I'm going to tell you is 2 weeks ago when the Swallows were 14 games over 500 and they'd allowed three more runs than they scored, I was trying to tell everybody that they're not as good as their record. And, you know, right now they're playing exactly like a team that scores and allows the same number of runs.
Mm.
They're winning, you know, they're winning all kinds of games. They're winning big games. They're winning small games. They're losing all kinds of games. They're inconsistent. This is sort of like what we expected. And I talked to Josh Whitesell the other day about this, and he said, yeah, you know, we knew, you know, anybody who looks at the numbers is going to know that we're not, that we were fortunate to be where we were, and we can't count on that continuing.
Mm-hmm.
I asked if, you know, we talked about their one-run offense, and, yeah, they're bunting a lot. They get on base. He said, we're taking our walks. We're getting on base. People are bunting. People are stealing a few bases. We're doing the simple things. I said, are you hitting and running much? Because I don't watch enough games that I can see whether the run and hits are there. He said, no, not really. He said, we've faked a few bunts. You know, we've done a few of the busters. The fake, you know, the
butcher boy.
The fake, yeah, the fake bunt run.
And now I have to stop us here, right? And
right.
We had a disagreement, or this was years ago, you and I. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago.
About the buster?
About
the batter?
And you said you didn't know what to say in when a batter who's basically squared around a bunt pulls
right.
the bat back and swings it. And I
yep.
said it was the butcher boy. And
the butcher boy. Well, that the butcher boy means he's going to chop down on the ball.
So anyway,
right.
So anyway, you listeners, if you can help us settle this, because I've heard other announcers say it, and it's not necessarily chopping down on the ball always. It's just pulling the bat back, and when you square it around the bunt, you pull it back and take a swing. So guys,
just here. And the guy pretends to be chopping the meat, and suddenly he takes a hack at you with a knife.
Then you know that he's related to somebody who doesn't really like baseball.
Well, that's
anyway,
good.
So please, you know, we
you go to a new place to get your meat.
Yeah. And I'll take that meaning only one way instead of two ways.
You better before Freeman gets. Yeah.
But write us on the Facebook page. We have a Facebook page now. Just search for Japan Baseball Weekly and you'll find it. And let us know. Here they call it the Buster, with the Buster and Run, or what else? What's the other?
It's almost always
the Buster.
It's basically a run and hit, where instead of it looks like it's a run and bunt, it turns into a run and hit.
Okay. All right, so basically, Josh said that they did that a couple times. You said.
Sure, they do that now and then.
But they're not aggressive either.
Yeah. He said the hit, and I've seen a couple of, I think I've seen about three running hits this year. And most of them were in the Pacific League.
Mm-hmm.
Probably all in the Pacific League. Watanabe likes it. Okay.
I've seen a few, I just haven't seen enough, you know.
Yeah, I think they're missing in action. And I don't know, somebody better go send out a search party for them, maybe they can find them before the end of the season.
Right, now. Again, in our pre-taping conversation, you talked about, well, you sent a message on Skype saying that I said that the Swallows were, what, close to flawless or
less,
something like
less
that?
The least flawed
team.
That's
what
I said.
That's not what you wrote, but yeah, that's what...
That is not what I wrote, but that is what you said now. Okay.
But and I still think, you know, up until yesterday I thought so, but then they lost the closer...
Without limp, that's a different team.
Yeah, and that means, you know, guys in late-game situations are going to be coming in unfamiliar.
Well, they're not going to be unfamiliar, but they'll be unfamiliar.
Ninth inning? I shouldn't say late inning.
Yeah, like Oshimoto, he's familiar with pitching in late innings, but he's unfamiliar with having success in the late innings.
Exactly.
yeah, you know, the thing about teams that are playing, I mean, the Swallows were in first place by a wide margin for a wide number of reasons. You know, you couldn't count them all or figure them out, but a lot of things have to go right to be there. And a lot of things that happen in weird, fluky streaks are when the success stops happening,
mm-hmm.
a lot of things change, the dynamics change. Well, okay, what happens is they stop winning all the close games. And then they have a game to win, and... Tony Burnett blows the situation in the eighth inning. Okay,
the next day
limits out. So it's like they're thinking, well, where's that good feeling we had, that chemistry, that teamwork that was getting us where we are? Well, we don't have the closers, we don't have the bullpen, which was a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know where that team mood goes? Do I hear a toilet flushing?
I wouldn't say the mood is going down.
No,
really,
it affects the confidence that you know you're going to win.
Yeah.
To you think we should win.
Right, and you know, a lot of times guys come to the ballpark and trying to figure out. I mean, Tommy Lasorda always used to tell Dodger players, "Hey, you come to the ballpark thinking, what can you do today to help the team to contribute to a victory?" And
none of us did put Tommy in the trunk of the car.
Okay, shut up, Giants fan. But, I mean, I think that the
Tommy, I love you, but...
I think up until these injuries happened to these particular guys, everybody knew what they were going to do to contribute to a win. And now, when you've got guys in different situations, and, yeah, sure, there are guys who are not used to doing pitching ninth innings, or there are guys who are not used to pitching eighth innings even. Who are going to be out there, and it changes exactly what the psyche.
Okay. Well, of course, what could happen just as easily is that they put Tony Barnett out in the ninth inning, and he's lights out, and Oshimoto runs through a streak. You know, they play over their heads for about a week, and now everybody thinks they're invincible again.
It could happen.
Okay, so that sure as heck could happen. It does happen.
They need a spark. You know, they need a spark, and they need some offense to go with it. It's unfortunate that they're playing the team that's directly behind them in this three-game series when they had to deactivate their closer. But happens. You can't time it.
Talk about the Pacific League.
I'm sorry?
Shall we talk about the Pacific League?
We can head right on over to Pacific League. I mean, there's not really much to say. There's two teams that are, like, head and shoulders in front of everybody else, and they're going to they look like a couple wolves fighting over the last scrap of meat here. And
yep. So,
and you know, that could be a life or death situation, and we know it isn't because they're both going to the playoffs. They're both going to the postseason. So, but you know, this is one thing that when I went out to talk to the Hawks players the other day for a story about the pitchers, I stopped and talked to Hitoshi Tamura.
Yeah.
The former Yokohama Bay Stars outfielder, and I'm planning. Fashion. So I wanted to ask him about, you know, they had this sweep of the Fighters at home in earlier this month, and was it late July? I can't remember now. I think it was late July. And he said, yeah, you know, that was great that we did that, and I think if we sweep this next 3-game series up in South Porter, I think that's it. And I'm like, wait a second. guys usually tell me, yeah, you know, we're going to take it one day at a time, and we're not going to look too far ahead. And, you know, it's just a 3-game series. It doesn't mean anything. And now you got a guy spilling the whole pot of beans here saying, hey, man, we get these guys next time and this thing's over. And, I mean, essentially, they lost 2 out of 3 here up here in South Porter, so they didn't come close to getting a sweep. No. But, and still a race. It's 2.5 games now. Their lead is down to 2.5 games over the Fighters. But that surprised me that he would
actually. You love that?
Yeah, you know, we always rip guys for saying the same thing, give us that same old line. And he came out and said it. And I was, like, so tickled.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to write about it. I think, you know, it's too bad that I didn't get to write about it before this series happened, but perhaps I can throw it in a column when I write about something. Yeah, well,
let's perhaps. Move on. Okay.
Perhaps.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, which I think is funny about that is just before the All-Star break, I was up at Cebu Dome and Nashida was, you know, talking to the reporters before the game, and he said that, you know, we may be 6-7 games above 500, but we feel like we're a 500 team. We're a scrappy 500 team trying to get better. But, you know, I hate to say it, in the Pacific League, 500 is the new 600.
500 is the new 600. Nicely put.
It's, you know, 500 is the ambition of 2/3 of the league, man. It's like, of course, the Buffaloes now. How far are the, I think they're 2 games out of 500? It's like,
That's
unbelievable.
The Buffaloes.
The Buffaloes, the team, the downtrodden Buffaloes. I know I'm trodden on them all the time, so I know they're downtrodden.
Hey, I'm the one who nicknamed them the Buffalo Lows.
Okay, so they are now 43-45. They're 2 games under 500 after they picked on my candidates to finish third. Okay, we've got that. And then we've got the Marines, who are a few games back of them, who actually won. A few games back, and they're plus. They're 10 runs plus in the runs scored, runs allowed. So they deserve, of course, their offense is not the same as it was at the beginning of the season, but you got to consider them. And the Eagles, who knows?
Hey, they're defending Japan Series champions. You got to look at them. You got to take them seriously. They finished third last year, made a run.
Yeah. Who knows with them? So. It's kind of an interesting. I think it is interesting to see. I mean, this who's going to be third place in the Pacific League is a great interest. And I don't think who's going to catch the Fighters. I don't think anybody thinks. Geez, let's play 700. You know, I think we're going to start calculating who's eliminated from finishing second. Mathematical eliminations will be coming in a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, they're going to start popping up here, and especially for...
This is a season that's going to go to the middle of October.
Yeah, this is going to run into my marathon here if we're not careful. Going to run an Osaka Marathon on October 30th, unfortunately.
Aren't you?
Yeah,
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, well, yeah. We shall see. We shall see.
It's all
right. Thanks for asking.
Okay.
But, you know, second place, third place, I think second place, obviously, one of those two teams is going to get it, the Hawks or the Fighters. Third place.
So who's in third place now? Who, if you had to look, pick them right now, who's in third place? This week, John.
This week, because I like to flip-flop and change. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying the conditions change every week.
Okay. Well, you know, I said it last week. I would love to see the Buffaloes finish in third place. I just don't know if they have enough. The Marines are right there, and they – I don't know if they have enough. So I know who's not going to finish. It looks like the Sabre Lions have just faded completely out of this thing.
Right.
And it's kind of sad to see. It's kind of unfortunate for them. But, yeah, they're done. They're toast. So it's going to be – they are toasted Lions.
Wow.
So, and I don't really know the
especially if you're listening, you heard it from Gibson's mouth, not mine.
Oh, well, you said enough here to get people stalking you, buddy. So you should just be quiet.
That's the word.
Anybody named Nomura is coming after you anyway. So blood relative or none. I think it comes down to those two teams, to be honest. And you know, the Lions, if they can right the ship a little bit, they're going to have a big impact on who gets, you know, second place and third place. But I, if I had to pick now, right this minute, I would probably pick the Marines since they have the championship savvy. They're still carrying a little bit of that around from last season, and they've got guys who are pretty confident, and they've got Iguchi, who's just been great for them since he came back to Japan from the States. So I would have to go with them.
I was inspired by my buddy the Tool, and I'm gonna stick with my pick and stick with the Eagles for third place. You know, come on Eagles, come on guys.
Eagles. We love our Eagles. We love our Eagles. But I just don't see it. I don't see the pitching. I don't see, you know, sometimes they've come back and gotten enough runs this year to be relevant in a game, but then they can't hold on to the lead. So I'm pretty much giving up on the little Eagles as much as I like them. All right, we did have a question this week, so let's go to fielding questions. Fujiwawa, we had this. This is a person who wrote in before, and
Futon, is it?
I'm sorry.
It's not Futon. Fumihiro Fujiwawa.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. Right. Question is, who's the player you like the least? And I'll start that one by saying I'm not touching this question.
Like the least?
I am not going near this question.
No, I've had players, you know, there are players who I can't stand to watch because they're so patently dumb, but even they have something going for them, and they're quality players. Like the guy who used to drive me to distraction the most was Nakahata of the Giants, and we're talking many, many years ago, but he was just everything he ran the bases with his head down. He screamed at umpires for calling strikes down the middle of the plate that he looked at for strike three, and then he'd swing at pitches that were 3 feet out of the zone. And,
not really your thinking man's player.
He was no. He used to drive me to distraction, so I have to say he was the player I liked the least. Not necessarily the least likable player, but he was the guy who really bugged me the most.
Well, you did an excellent job at choosing a player who probably, first of all, is not active. Secondly,
yep.
He doesn't listen to the program and won't even get rumors of the program.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I'm not judging his question.
Well,
this is just my sixth year.
We get who the manager we like the least, and I like Kenjiro Nomura. I mean, I like him fine. I just think as a manager, he's had a lot of challenges he hasn't been able to deal with. So.
The manager I like the least would be... the least.
You can't always separate personalities from there, too, because, the least friendly is the guy who's very successful.
Well, you know, it's least friendly to you or least friendly to me. Because guy who's least friendly to me is Senichi Hoshino. He scares the daylights out of me.
Oh,
and
he's a big
guy. Right, but who is it for you?
Oh, Ochiai.
Ochiai, yeah, well, he doesn't scare me so much as he's just, you know, quiet.
Okay.
There's a guy who won't give you the time of day versus a guy who will scream at you in my opinion. It just seems like Hoshino would just bite my head off if I asked him the wrong question, whereas Hoshino would just, not even stop. So that doesn't scare me. If he's not going to stop, then I'm safe. But the manager I like the least, probably Akinobu Okada.
Okada?
And simply because of this, he doesn't finish a thought articulately. And it's hard to actually know what he's saying, because he goes from one idea and he gets smack dab in the middle of that idea and he changes and goes off on a tangent and another idea and he doesn't finish that and he's back somewhere else.
Can I tell you that he's my role model?
He's your role model? What is it that you're trying to roll?
Hey, we don't do that in Japan, man. I'm at it with you. I'm out of here. Let's call this one quits. You're fired.
I'm fired. Nice. Well, before I go. No, what I mean, role model? In what way?
Well, in the sense that I tend to lose. I tend to get distracted by other questions and answer the second question before I finish answering the first. Okada is a very likable guy too. All these guys are fairly nice fellas, and it's hard to pick somebody you don't like, even though the question was about players and managers.
Yeah, well, I have
Higashio. Higashio.
For you?
Not in hell. Can I say that on the air?
I think you just did.
Okay.
For players, I have players I dislike, but I'm certainly not gonna get into them in this forum.
Okay.
But they do exist, especially since those guys can swing bats a lot smarter than I can. But I can tell you this, that there are players you don't like who you have to find a way to have a relationship with them and work with them. And that goes with it in any situation, outside of baseball and all that stuff. You have to find a way to just get along, people.
Wow. Love, peace, love, and understanding, baby. Is that what it's all about, Joan Gibson?
Well, the love and the understanding, we don't get much peace.
Wow.
But it'd be nice to have some, but there's lots of love and understanding going around, so we need a lot more peace. All right, well, you can always email the show at yakyujohn@gmail.com. That's yakyujohn@gmail.com. Or go to our Facebook page. And thank you for signing up. We had a few people sign up. Go ahead and leave comments there. And I will try to answer questions, during the week when I have time. Look for us on iTunes. You can search for Japan Baseball Weekly. Enjoy your baseball. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thanks a lot, John. See you next week.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah.